Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. Good evening, good evening. This is DNK Bible Break with your host, Derek Oliver. Also on with me is my sidekick, Miss Kay. Good evening, Kay.
Good evening.
And we just want to say thank all those for tuning in, listening to us for DNK Bible Break. I want to thank once again my sponsors, the Royal Caribbean, Pepsi, Pizza Hut, Finish Line, Brentwood Publishing. Just send them all a shout out. Thank you guys for supporting us all through the year. Also, we're going to be giving out our scholarship either this week, next week. We're just waiting on one more thing. We're going to be giving out a Chaos Scholarship to a young lady this year. So keep that in mind. We're going to broadcast that live, and also we're going to do a Facebook Live when we do our scholarship giveaway to a young lady who's receiving a scholarship. Also, I want to thank all of the people who support Chaos Talk. Again, I just want to let everyone know that listens to all the broadcasts or even some of the broadcasts throughout the week. We just want to say thank you, thank you, and thank you again. I cannot say how much I appreciate the support from people who just listen to us. Who listen to us tonight on Tuesday night when we do Praise Tabernacle Bible Study, when we do on Wednesday Watchmen on the Wall, Friday night Praise Tabernacle Friday night services with Bishop Omar Zachary, also Sunday morning with Praise Tabernacle, Sunday morning services, and then Sunday evening we wrap up with Watchmen on the Wall with Elder Bazaar. And then on Friday night and Saturday evening, we have the Overseer, Timothy Jackson, from Dallas, Texas. Just an awesome lineup. You can't go wrong listening to either night. I just want to say thank you again for all your support. Now, with that being said, I feel good in my spirit tonight. If you don't, hopefully y'all believe in rock and roll, because Jesus is my rock, and I'm on his roll. And with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. K, and we're going to get this DNK Bible started off on a good foot. So I'm turning it over to you.
Oh, wow, that was quick. You want to open us up in prayer?
I can do that. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for waking us up this morning. Father God, we want to thank you for putting us in our right minds, giving us activity with our limbs. Father God, we just want you to be in control tonight, that your word is seen and heard, and Father God, that we may decrease so you may increase, Father God. Father God, I just want you to watch over all the listeners, give them the ear, and Father God, just let them know that they are loved by you. Father God, we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. All right, so before we get started with our show tonight, I actually wanted to just make a comment. It's not our subject or anything like that, but I just want to make a comment in reference to something that was said last week as far as qualifications go. And, you know, a couple of months ago before we started DNK Bible Break, prior to the virus, I was the type of person that felt like, okay, I'm not that person. I'm not qualified to do that. That's how I looked at things. I know I got knowledge because I've been under great leaders, but I never had the courage to step out and say anything. Yeah, I'm good with the little kids because they're little kids, and I know how to, you know, maneuver and talk to kids. So when somebody's questions somebody's qualifications, you know, I was thinking about that, and I'm like, you know, that could really hinder somebody from stepping out and doing what the Lord is calling them to do, because you already feel within yourself that you may not be qualified. The devil is going to tell you, you don't know nothing. So as children of God and as people that say that the Lord is leading and guiding them, don't do that to people, because you can hinder that person from growing and stepping out on what God is telling them to do. So if we're all under the same God and we're all serving God and we're all believers, then I feel that if you're a believer and I'm a believer, we are one in spirit, in the same spirit. So why would you hinder somebody from trying to grow and do better? Now, if you need to correct them, if they're saying something that they may not have a full understanding of, you can correct them. Correct them with love. But don't say that somebody is not qualified, because you are not the person to tell them that. Let the Lord deal with them on that. So I just wanted to give that little comment, because it kind of bothered me, because I was that person. And in some ways, I'm still that person, but the Lord is still working on me. So just watch what you say to people, because you can really stop fulfilling their purpose. So that's all I wanted to say on that subject. Okay, so tonight. All right, did you want to say anything, or are you good?
No, I'm ready to rock and roll. Go ahead.
Okay, so tonight we're going to be talking about beauty and brokenness. So we took our family about two Saturdays ago. We went to Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we went to a place called Ruby Falls. So this place, we were underground. I think we're over 2,000 feet underground. We were really down in the ground. And this place, it was a gentleman by the name of Leo Lambert. He was a chemist, and he purchased this land above the underground cave of the Lookout Mountain in 1928. So he purchased this, and they dug for many hours. They kept digging and digging through this cave, and they discovered these beautiful rocks, and they discovered this waterfall eventually after being in this crawl space for many hours. So because it was so beautiful and breathtaking, he said, I'm going to bring my wife back because I need her to see this. And he brought his wife back. She saw it. It was just beautiful. And he named it Ruby Falls after her. So this waterfall, if you ever get a chance to go, you may not think you're going to end up somewhere beautiful, because you go through a lot of twists and turns and you're in a cold, dark place. So a lot of times in life, we're in a cold, dark place, whether it's the sin that we live in, whether it's the circumstances that we face in our life that can have us in cold, dark places. It could be our health. It could be our finances. It could be our family wilding out. We're just in a dark place. It could be circumstances that we may be in control of, and then some circumstances we may not be in control of. It may be a dark place that we may find ourselves in life. I don't know about you, but I've been in a dark place. And sometimes, you know, the devil will try to make you go back to a dark place. The thing is, when you're in that place, you still need to look for the beautiful things that's going on in your life. So most of us were stuck in life, not because God hasn't answered our prayers, but we lack the understanding of what we have in front of us or how to use what we have. So a lot of it has to do with your perspective and how you view things in life. So you can look and say, I'm in a dark place. I'm going through this. You don't understand. You've never been through this. You can't speak on this. That may be true, but I know what it's like to be in a dark place. So it's your perspective is what you view and how you see things. So I looked at the definition of perspective. It says a particular attitude toward or way of regarding something, a point of view. So our decisions and how we live our lives are based on how we see things. It's our perspective. You're looking at everything in your life that's going on that's negative, then you're not going to see the beauty that God is trying to see you to get out of this situation to build your character. So we need to just cry out to God in prayer. And at the end of the day, he gave us everything that we need within us. And we need to pray that he opens our eyes of understanding so we can see what's going on around us. And we don't need to focus on what's not going right in our lives. Don't focus on the negativity and the news. Don't focus on what the Joneses is doing. Pay attention to what you're doing and what you're doing in your life. And because at the end of the day, your soul is going to be the one that's required of the Lord. If you're a believer, it's your soul. It's not your neighbor's soul. It's not what anybody else is doing, a celebrity is doing. It's none of that. It's you. So pay attention to what God is trying to show you, and maybe he's trying to build your character during this dark situation in your life. So I'm going to let you – I'm talking. Go ahead. I'm going to let you talk a little bit.
No, I was waiting for you to throw the scriptures in there.
Let me throw my scripture in there. All right, let me do that. So
no, go ahead.
We
no,
can
go
ask
ahead and put it up there for me.
We can ask the Lord to allow us to see with new eyes. That's our whole thing. We need to see with new eyes so we can see things that are positive. And Ephesians 1 and 18, we're encouraged to see the things of God. See things with the eyes of our heart. That's what it tells us to do. So the scripture that I have that I wanted to share with you, it is, I'm going to go ahead and read John 8 and 12. And this is
some strange reason. I don't know. Maybe the devil didn't want us to put that scripture out, but we're going to get it out here in a little bit. I don't know what happened to your mic. You there?
I'm here. You can't hear me?
Hey, we lost Kay. But she'll be back in Ephesians. But I wanted to comment because we definitely got some good scriptures to go with what we're talking about being in a cave. And when you're in a cave, and like she was saying, the movie Falls, I'm just going to be honest with y'all that's listening out there. I went through the cave, and took about an hour and a half walk down in the ground, and it is really something. I apologize for the technical difficulties, but are you back?
I'm back. I don't know what happened, but go ahead. Carry on. I can hear you.
Okay. I don't know how.
Can you hear me?
Okay, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
When you hear me, just interrupt what I'm talking. If I can get you to come in. Again, I'm sorry, we're having some mic problems in the house.
Well, I don't know what's going on with mic.
But anyway, when you're in a cave and we're walking to this place, and I saw the brochures, it's this beautiful place, and I'm getting there, got the family with me. And as I'm walking and as I'm leading us into this walk, for an hour and a half, I did not see anything beautiful. First of all, it was cold down there. Second of all, I was worried about my shoes getting wet because it was wet. And it was a bunch of rocks. And I'm not a tall person, but in this cave, you have to duck up under a bunch of rocks to get you through the path. And you go this long way, they tell you to move over, let other people go through, that's coming back through. So for a whole hour till we got to the waterfall, my attitude went from 1 to 10 because I didn't see nothing. I took some pictures that I thought was beautiful pictures, but they were nothing but rocks. And I'm going to get to the point in about 2 seconds. And as my wife was stopping taking pictures, the kids behind her kept asking pictures. And about 5 minutes into the walk, I was ready to go because I didn't see nothing but some rocks, and we down in a cave. We get to the waterfall, all I see is water. I see no, ain't no shore. I have to keep myself together because I don't want to show my wife. I got an attitude that we came to this place and spent money on this place. But the same thing that I experienced in the cave, I kind of experienced in my life. We're walking through, we're focused on the wrong thing. Even though I've been saved, sanctified in the church all these years, I'm looking at the wrong things. And in the cave, I was looking at the wrong things. I was focused on self and not looking at the journey that I was taking. And at the end of the journey of the cave, I'm going to make a long story short, when I got home that evening, I saw my pictures on my phone compared to my wife's pictures. And we saw two totally different things. Now, what she saw was beautiful. She saw the light. She captured it. She took pictures of it. She stopped to look at it. Only thing that I was controlling is my attitude, and I didn't like what I saw. And she liked what she saw, but we was in the same place. And when you're in the same place, you see things differently sometimes if you're not on the same spiritual level. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, being on that same spiritual level. Because what my wife saw compared to what I saw, we have two different interpretations of where we were at. And a lot of times as Christians, as we're going through this life, we look at our circumstances and we think that's it. And we don't see the beauty within what we're going through. And we miss it. Missing the beauty. Even though everything ain't right, everything ain't going on, we miss the beauty because, A, and I'm going to have to put it, we're not hearing the word of God. We're not following Christ as he should be leading us. We're following our own desires. And one of the things, when you follow your own desires, that means you're not following God's will, you're doing your will. And when you do your will, sometimes you get your will and God's will mixed up, and you're on two different programs. And you can never fully develop the way Christ wants you to develop until you surrender your will. And all part of salvation is surrendering your will, except picking up the cross and following Christ. And when you follow Christ, you start seeing things differently. You could be in a dark cave, but you can see the beautiful light. You can see the beautiful rock structure. You can see it because it's not Derek's will, but it's Christ's will. But if Derek keeps looking at what Derek, I'm going to get caught up in the flesh, because we are flesh, I'm going to get caught up in the flesh, and I never let the spirit take over. And I'm just thanking the Lord that my wife could see and capture the beauty of the cave. Yeah, it was dark. It was cold. And no, I didn't see nothing, and I complained to myself the full hour and a half that we were down there. I said, we didn't spend this money. I don't see no light. I don't see nothing. And just complain. And to myself, it was like, wow. Later on that night, I asked my wife, where was I at doing all of the pictures that was being taken? Watch this, because this is about to get good in a minute. A lot of times we go through life doing our will. We didn't miss what God was trying to show us until it's too late. And when it's too late, you can't enjoy it because you didn't already miss it. So as Christians, we have to be put aside our will and pick up God's will. And as he leads and guides us, stop and look at the beauty of the cave. Are you there, Kay?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear now. You good?
I am good. I don't know what was going on with my phone. It didn't want to act right. So to God be the glory.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. I don't want to stop the flow of what's going on, but I want you to read those scriptures for me, please.
All right, so I was going to read John 8 and 12.
The devil is really trying to mess with us today because I lost you again. Are you there?
I'm here. I wonder if you're the only person that's losing me. I don't know why you can't hear me.
Okay, I guess the enemy is attacking my wife and her. I don't know what's going on, but we don't have good communications right now, so I'm going to keep it moving until we get her back.
But not you.
I just want to express, because I believe everyone has a cave moment. I believe everyone goes through some things, goes through some circumstances in life, and you never see the beauty of it because you're looking at it from the wrong set of eyes. And what I've learned and what I've learned over the last few months, and I've been saved 38 years, what I've learned over the last few months is when you're walking with Christ, you have to put a word on your situation. And when you put a word on your situation, you can't let this life that you live you can't let this life be in the flesh. You have to turn it over to the spiritual man, and how you build the spiritual man up is through the word of God. You know, faith come by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. You build your faith up. You build your strength up. You build your joy up, all by the word of God. And when you build it up, you start living by it. You just don't live because you say you're saved and that's it, and you go to church and you open your Bibles and you take a magic marker, you mark a few scriptures down and close the book. That's not living for Christ. When you live for Christ and totally turn your life over to him, your life becomes his life. And I hear a lot of people say, you know, I just need a break from reality. I hear a lot of Christian people say, I need a break from reality. I need this, I need that. Well, when you become a Christian, your reality is Christ. You shouldn't need a break, because you should be able to adapt whatever the situation is coming. And what happened is, we want to look at our lives and we want the desires of our heart. Christ don't want, he's not into your desires, he's into your development. And when he develops you, he's developing you to live this life for him. It's a development, it's a process, little by little. You can't look at the cave, you can't look at the coldness, you can't look at the circumstances and be like, okay, my life is over, my life is ruined, because you have some issues come up. We all got issues. It's how you deal with the issues. And the way you deal with issues, you got to go through the scriptures. You just don't get a scripture. You have to live that scripture. You have to eat that scripture. You have to sleep that scripture. Because if you don't, you're not going to be able to feed your soul. And if you don't feed your soul, you're not going to be able to see where God is leading you, because he leads us through his word. His word is still alive. I've been on this high for the last month now because I'm excited about God's word, because I've seen it work every single day. And not every time we take a trip, every time we go on vacation, whatever we got going on, I'm telling you, me and my wife, it is a spiritual moment. There's something in it for Christ to either show us, to lead us, or to guide us. Everything that you do should be for Christ. And if it's not, then you're going to start looking at circumstance. I understand that there's a coronavirus. I understand people aren't working. I understand that we're living in times that we've never seen before. But the Bible tells me that we are in the world, but we're not of the world. It shouldn't affect us one bit. I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned. I'm not saying we shouldn't be cautious. But we live a different type of faith than the world do. No, I'm very social distance conscious about what I do, but it don't affect how I live my life, because I'm living for Christ. If Christ tells me it's okay to go to the grocery store, well, we're going to have that conversation, and I'm going to put my mask on, and I'm going to go. If Christ tells me, okay, you can take a trip to go see your mama in Ohio, I'm going to pray about it. We're going to use the precautions and do it. No, we can't go to church the way we used to go to church, but we can still have church at home. These are the things, because we're not letting the world dictate to us. We're dictating to the world how we're supposed to live. Everyone is in a cave right now. Everyone seems as being cold, and I'm listening to people, and I'm talking to people, and they don't have the excitement that I have. But now people say, well, Derek, you sound like you're a little arrogant. I'm not arrogant, but when my life revolves around Christ, I'm supposed to be happy. I'm supposed to bring joy. I'm supposed to bring that peace and understanding. Well, how did you get it? First of all, you got to surrender your will and pick up God's will. Pick up the cross and walk after him. No, it ain't going to be perfect, but the more and more that you continue to hear his word, the more and more you will start seeing things a little differently. Everything that we do now, it becomes a conversation about Christ. Everywhere we go now, it's a conversation about Christ. Even the people that we talk to, it's a conversation about Christ. If you're talking to people who not full of life, who's full of just doom and gloom, you need to change your circle, because they're not going to benefit you. And that spirit can get in you, because that negativity starts feeding your brain and you start listening to it. Then you start watching the news. Then you start seeing this stuff. then you get caught. Oh, I might got the wrong. No, you don't. I am healed through his stripes. I am healed. We don't claim it. We don't confess it, but we are his child, his children. We're supposed to be that living word. He's not dead. He is alive. Too many Christians are walking around here with their heads down like we got a problem. Well, when is church going to be back open? I don't care if they never open the church doors again, because you should be able to have church in your home if you're receiving the word of God. If you're receiving the word of God, you get the word of God a couple ways. You can open your Bible yourself and start reading. If you don't understand what you're reading, that's fine. You go find someone who can help you understand it. But if you're having a problem trying to find someone to help you understand it, like my daddy used to say, just read all the red in the King James Version. If you read all the red, that's pretty much self-explanatory what you're reading. That would be enough to get you to find you a leader. Just read all the red. Once you do that, then you start living. God will start, you start seeing some things. Even in a storm, you can still rejoice.
Amen.
Ain't no one trying to hear me tonight, but that's okay. But
amen.
Even when you feel like things are tightening up on you, you can still have joy. You can have joy in a cave. And just remember, Jesus was born in a cave. He was born in a cave of a teenage mother who knew no man. So you can figure this stuff out where I'm going with this, but I feel myself getting happy. I need to slow down. Okay, I see you back, and I didn't got ahead of myself so doggone much.
Can you
I need
hear
you
me
to,
though?
I can hear you fine.
Good, because guess what?
My people
everybody
in North Carolina are giving me thumbs up on you. You're good.
I'm good, but I'm getting messages that everybody could hear me the whole time, so I don't know what's going on, but it's okay. God's still going to get the glory. So, but I want to piggyback off of what I was trying to assume and how we see things. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine.
Okay, good. Okay, so I want to just piggyback off of that. So a lot of the times we go through things and it looks dim. It may be a little dark. But like you said, we were in that cave, and I'm walking, and I'm taking pictures. My kids were behind me, and they kept saying, why she keep taking pictures? What's she taking pictures of the rock for? But they didn't see what I was seeing. So I'm taking the pictures, even the waterfall. While I was in there, I'm like, oh, the brochure and the pictures online looked like it was more colorful. It looked a little gloomy, but once we got home and we saw the pictures, and I'm like, the pictures were beautiful. So a lot of times you have to change the way you're looking at things. You may see something that somebody else may not see. So don't let nobody make you feel that the situation that you're in is a dead deal, because there's some beauty in it. You just got to open your eyes to see it. And if you can't, you know, ask the Lord to open your eyes to see it. A lot of the times why we can't see things is because we have some issues that we need to take to the altar, if I can say it like that. So if you're not seeing things, there may be a chance that you need to check what's going on around you. Check the people that you're around. Checking what you allow through your eye gate and your ear gate. You need to check those things so that way you can see what's really going on. Seek the Lord, pray about it, ask him to show you with his eyes what you need to see, and ask him to clean your heart, because, you know, our hearts, let's keep it real, we were born into this world naturally, our hearts need to be clean, we need to be renewed, our spirits need to be renewed, and the only way you can do that is through Jesus. So once you accept him into your heart, let him do all the cleaning and the washing and the purifying, so that way you can see things the way that he sees them. So let's just keep seeking him so we can see it from God's perspective, not from man's perspective, but from God's perspective. Because a lot of times you tell people what's going on in your life, oh, they want to have a pity party with you. They're like, oh, yeah, I knew that. Oh, yeah, you know how they do it. So a lot of times, you can't tell everybody what's going on in your life. You got to talk to the Lord about it. Let him see what's going on in your life. So let me just do another scripture. And this is going to go with the darkness in our life, because without God, without the Lord, we're all in darkness. We're all walking in darkness. So there's a scripture that says John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, him being Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So in order for you to start doing things and seeing things according to the will of God, you have to be a child of God. So ask them, accept, ask them into your heart, so that way you can start seeing things the way he wants you to see them. And that, again, that scripture was John 14:6.
Can you do Ephesians for me again? Yeah, can you do Ephesians?
You want me to do Ephesians? Okay, hold on. What? Which one? Which one? Ephesians what? I didn't get
it. The first one you started out with, Ephesians 8.
That was actually John 8, but do you want me to go ahead and read
John
Ephesians 8? I can do that too.
No, go to John 8. I'm sorry.
John 8:12 says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life.
Amen. That's what I wanted to talk. Yeah, what I'm saying is, in order to have that light, you got to have the word. And in order to have the word, you got to open up your Bible and read it for yourself. You can't take Derek's opinion or Derek's I'm saying it right, or whoever is preaching saying it right. You got to read the word for yourself. And when you read it, he becomes the light. He can lead you when you're in a dark place. He becomes that light for you. The reason a lot of people, a lot of family members and associates of mine don't like to be around me, because I'm bringing the light. That means I'm bringing the word. I'm not saying the word to uplift me or see how smart I am. I'm bringing the word because this is my reality. This is my lifestyle. This is what I do. This is how I believe. I may not have a lot of money to give you, but I can give you a word. I may not can make you feel better physically, but I can give you a word. And once you get the word and you use the word for yourself, then you become better. Because I know the Lord as a healer, because he healed my body. It ain't going to do you no good to hear me say that he's a healer for me if you don't believe it. Because if you don't believe it, it ain't going to do you no good. The first thing you got to do, you got to get in the word and just read it. And just read it till it becomes life. And once it becomes life, it becomes that little flashlight for you. Because we are living in dark times. But again, one of my favorite verses I'm starting to love right now is, we're in the world, but we're not of this. We're not of it. And it's good to me when I can see my brothers and sisters in the Lord celebrating life.
Amen. Amen. Like the cave that we were in, you know, the people, if they would have gave up and stopped digging, they wouldn't have seen the beauty and what the end result was. So, you know, in life, we got to keep pressing. We got to keep digging. We got to keep seeking. We got to keep fasting. We got to keep seeking the Lord for our life and see what he wants us to do with our life. We got to keep pressing. So in order to get to the glory of what God is trying to show you, you got to keep on keeping moving, keep on pushing. You can't give up and be like, oh, I'm just going to turn around. No, keep going. It may be hard, but keep going. God's got you. You may not have your dream house, but you got a roof over your head. You may not have you may not have your dream job. Let's just say that. You may be working a job, you're not really satisfied with it, but guess what? The Lord is sustaining you, and he's keeping you, and he's allowing you to pay your bills and to eat. So praise God for the things that he's doing in your life. You may not understand it. You may not like the way it's going, but I promise you, he's working it out for your good. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it. If you trust him, let him do what he needs to do in your life, he's faithful. He's faithful. And the goal is to reach heaven, to hear him say, well done. But you're not going to get there if you're not doing the work. You have to do the work, and you have to trust God along the way. He's got you. He promised never to leave you, never to forsake you. So he got you. Keep pressing. Keep moving.
Amen. And one of the things, you know, he's going to complete it in you. You have to believe that. Don't no one qualifies you. Don't no one tell you you can't do it. Can't no one tell you you shouldn't do it, because the Lord will qualify you because he called you. And because he called you, he's definitely going to qualify you. Don't let people tell you you can't do this or you're trying to move too fast. You move how you feel you should move. I'm going to share this testimony. I hope I don't go to preaching. If I do, Kay, cut me off. But I was 16 years old. No, I'm serious. I was 15 years old, and I was going to church because my daddy was the pastor. And I was doing things because he was the pastor. But at 15, there was something touching me, telling me that you was going to be a preacher. And I finally got enough nerve to go to my father and say, Dad, I want to preach. He looked at me like I was crazy, and he said, okay, you want to teach? I said, no, I want to preach. And he said, what you know about preaching? What you going to preach? I said, I can't tell you right now, but I'll be able to tell you when I get behind the pulpit. And he said, okay. And my stepmother, his wife at the time, was saying, just give him the first Wednesday, because the first Wednesday was if anyone wanted to teach, or it was whoever, first Wednesday was an open Wednesday. And I told my dad, no, I want to preach. I don't want to teach no Bible study. I want to preach. He asked me, well, do you got a title? I said, yes. The title was called The Fight. And this is how I became a preacher. But my stepmother, my mother, everyone was saying, you ain't no preacher. At 15, they was telling me this. You sure you want to be a preacher? They said, my life is going to change. You can't be doing this and doing that, being a preacher. And it kind of, if I would have listened to them, I wouldn't have preached. And it's very important that we understand when God calls us or we're going through something, that he will qualify you to get through it. Now, what does that have to do with going through the cave? Because I was allowing, at one point, people to tell me what I couldn't do. It was looking like a dark cave. But I kept feeling this thing touch me in my spirit. And when I felt it touch me in my spirit, and my father felt it, then he said, okay. He said, all right, Dad, I'm going to give you Sunday night. You get first Sunday night. I said, okay. And he said, what's your title? I told him the title. And what my father did changed my life forever, because he was excited because he was a preacher. But not only was he excited, but he called up all his preacher friends. He called up all the family. He called up, he told the choir, because my father was a musician. He told the choir, you're going to sing on Sunday night. Our choir back then, they didn't sing on Sunday night. They just sung Sunday morning like it was special. He had the choir come out and sing. And here I am, feeling fearful, going to church. And then we had what we call, it was an overflow. That means there were no more seats in the church. We packed it out. The ushers had to go in the basement and grab the little fold-up chairs to put them in the middle of the aisle. And I was so scared. But when I got up there and I felt the Spirit take over, and if you ever feel the Spirit take over, it's a feeling like you never want to get. That's why when you see preachers get happy, the Lord then took over and they don't know what's going on. And that's why when the Spirit takes over me, I get happy and excited like I am now because of the Word of God. I can feel God talking to me. I can feel him moving in me. I can feel it, and I get excited. So sometimes I may mess up some words, but you got to understand, when you get a hold of the word and it becomes life to you and start leading you and guiding you, can't no one tell you nothing. Can't no one tell me nothing. Now, when I say that, now I'm saying this in a spiritual sense. Telling you, once the Spirit takes over, you're led by the Lord. And once you start being led by the Lord and you start feeding yourself up, can't no one tell you that you're not qualified. Can't no one tell you you're in a dark cave. Can't no one tell you you can see beautiful things when you're going through a situation. Can't no one tell you because you're struggling with your bills, you still ain't going to be happy and have that joy and peace that you have. Because right now, I really don't care about no bills. I have the peace of the Lord on my mind. I don't care about Amen. Nobody else's situation because I have the peace of the Lord that's on my mind. Everything that I do from here on in, it has to be centered around the Lord. And when I mean centered around the Lord, it's a lifestyle. And last week, and only bringing up last week is because some people's lifestyle who was not comfortable to my lifestyle wanted me to join their lifestyle. And I entertained them for a minute just because that's what I like to do sometimes is entertain people. But that's just my own personal, that's my ignorant self. But that's what I like to do. But at the end of the day, when I hang up this and this radio broadcast goes off, I am a happy person. I'm not worried. Can't no one get me out of care. Now, you mess with my wife or my kids, that's a whole other story. But all this other stuff that's going on in the world, it does not affect me. It does not bother me. If you're my friend and you hear me talking, you know exactly where my mind is. I'm going to live my life to the fullest. Now, when I say this, I'm trying to preach to you tonight to let you know that once you get the word inside you, you're a different person. You're not the same. It's not your will. It's his will. And that's my biggest thing I want you to understand tonight. It's not your will. It's his will. And when you let your will get in the way, and I start letting other people talk to me, and I start engaging in these conversations with people who mean me no good or don't mean no good to nobody else, it is what it is. And I'm just happy that I'm in a place now that I'm letting the scriptures lead me and guide me and tell me when I'm wrong. And I'll tell anybody, because I mentor a lot of young people, and they don't necessarily go to the same church, but they ask me questions. And I tell them, you need to go to your pastor and ask them what they preach and what they believe. And they said, well, how are we going to ask them? I said, call them on the phone and ask them. Well, we can't do that. And see, that becomes the problem. So when you hear Derek going off on preachers and stuff, it's not because I'm mad or I'm upset. Not that I need to give anyone an explanation. But there's a lot of people who listen to me, and I have to tell them, you have to ask questions. Don't be scared because you're qualified. This is your eternal life. This is your eternal soul. You just can't put it in anybody's hands. So when I want to know, I ask questions. But right now, I'm in such a beautiful place because now I can have church at home. That don't mean I'm not affiliated with a church. That means Mondays and Tuesdays and Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays is all dedicated to the Lord in this house at certain times. At certain times. Because that's church time. That's when I got to go to Bible study. That's when I got to go listen to this. And I got to, and the whole house knows that. That's the whole house have church. That's the first step. The next step is to get them in church. But right now, they got to reverence certain times of the house. And church start at home. And that's what I'm learning. If you can have church at home, when you get to church, you will really have church. You ain't really had church until you had church at home. Everybody in the midst of shock. That went over everybody's head. You really ain't had church until you had church at home. Church at home developed inside you. And inside you, it only takes a word. And that word that I've been saying tonight over and over again is I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. See, those scriptures I'm going to preach right now, that's life for me. Can't no one tell me nothing when you hear them words. Can't no one say this, that, or the other when you hear them words. And again, I brought up my first sermon was the fight. I remember, and I say this, and I'm going to shut up in a minute, was Rocky, my favorite movie, Rocky. Rocky 1, the very first one. He said something in the
all
movie.
All of Rocky.
Well, all of them good, but Rocky 1 is the one that did it for me. And the reason I'm saying number one is because he said something in the movie, for every Christian, this ought to be your theme movie. He said to Adrian, his wife, and just go the distance because no one ever went the distance with Creed. I'm saying if I can just go the distance with the devil, if I can just make it another day, if I can just make it
another day. The Bible said there's a crown laid up for me. See, y'all,
I don't mean to go there.
We don't want to go the distance with the devil.
We want to resist.
But every day, we're going to rebuke it. But every day is a day that when we wake up, we got to deal with something. And when you deal with something, if you can just make it through the day, if you can just hang on to that scripture through the day, that's your strength. That's your joy. You making it. Even though it may look like you're not, even though you may not seem like you are, but you're making it. Because we've been dealing with people who are dealing with coronavirus and all stuff that's going on in the world. But if you can just make it another day, if you can just make it to the end, if you can just make it, it really doesn't matter, because as long as you got that word in you, because the devil is running around in the world. You turn on the TV, nothing but sin. You go to the store, nothing but sin. You got to be able to make it. If I can just go the distance, this isn't a sprint. It's a marathon, and we're designed to win. We are designed to win. And some people probably asking the question, well, during this marathon, where is Jesus at? Well, Jesus is sitting at the finish line waiting on you to finish, because he already know the trials and the troubles you're going through. He's developing you to become his disciple. He's developing you to become his evangelist. He's developed you to become his preacher. He's developed you to become, if you want to drive the van for the church, he's developing you, but he's already called you. Now you got to go out here and deal with some things so you can become what he wants you to become. And yes, you are qualified because he called you. And that scripture in Philippians, can you read it for me one more time?
Philippians 1 and 6.
1 and 6.
He who began a good work in me is faithful to complete it.
He that began a work, whatever that work is, a good work.
Man.
And when you accepted him, you became a good work. I understand you may be slipping and dipping here and there, but you're still a good work. You're in development. And once he starts to develop you, you will see the type of soldier you will be in the Lord. I hope I'm making sense, but happy, I'm excited, I'm on cloud nine, and I can just feel I can just freak.
All right, I think your phone is acting up now. We're going to keep it moving. I don't know if you
impressed.
Can hear me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, you went out for a minute.
Okay. I don't know what's going on with these lines, but okay. I got a clear signal over here, and everyone's telling me I'm good. But if you can't hear me, all right, we're gonna work on that.
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Okay.
It was just a split second. I can hear you fine.
Okay.
But to piggyback off of what you were saying, a lot of the times we allow our flesh to get in the way. So if we're walking in the flesh, then we're not pleasing God anyway. So our flesh has to die daily in order for us to keep it moving. So once our flesh dies, you got to keep doing, this is like a constant thing. You know, if a thought comes in your mind, send it back to where it came from, because you know that's not of God. If, you know, you've seen somebody, I'm just going to keep it real, you've seen somebody be like, oh, okay, you know, they look nice, whatever, and your mind may go somewhere, you need to take that back to where it goes. You have to continually deny your flesh. Because if not, it's going to take control. And so when we get in our feelings about situations that we're in, because we're in a dark place, then if we focus on the dark place, then that's going to set up to where depression can set in, bad feelings can set in, self-harm can set in, treating your kids like crap can set in, talking to your spouse like you crazy can set in. A lot of things can happen if we allow our flesh to mingle in that dark place. So we, again, like I was saying, we got to change our perspective and allow the Lord to feed our soul. If you feel that you're in a bad place, I'm telling you, Google is good, because you can type in whatever you're feeling and you can ask for a scripture to relate to that. It's not that hard. Google it. Open Bible. You can go to different places. Bible Gateway. Go to different places and search and try to figure out what the Lord is trying to tell you in the situation that you're in right now. Because I promise you, you're not going to be able to figure it out in your flesh. You have to seek Him. And the only way you can seek Him is by going into His Word. Go ahead.
And I just want to give one principle. And I'm going to do a little bit about this in the next couple of weeks. I think chaos is doing so well. They want me to come up with different things. And one of the things I want to say tonight is very important. Your surroundings, who you surround yourself around, is very important to your development and to your faith and to your walk. If you surround yourself around a bunch of people who ain't going nowhere, you're going to find yourself going around in a circle over and over and over again. I'm going to say this, and I always get in trouble, but I'm going to try to be nice tonight. I'm working on being nice, and when I say things, my wife say, just be nice when you say it. So I'm going to say this, and then I promise you I'm done. But I've been in Atlanta for 3 years. This is my third year, going on my fourth year. I've been in Atlanta. And right now, the last 6 months, from the end of December to right now, I've been on a high. Spiritually, physically, financially, I've been on a high. And then I remember is who was around my circle. And if you around a bunch of boozy people who think they know every single thing, then my life, because at one point, spiritually, I wasn't doing nothing. I wasn't hungry for the word. I wasn't. It was just dried up, just dead because of the circle I was in. And my wife saw it, and she saw that I was just spiritually drained because I wasn't getting nothing. Even though the word was okay, no excitement, there was no joy, there was no happiness, they didn't want to see. I'm not going to say they didn't want to, I'm not going to put that out there, but in my opinion, they didn't want me to grow. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, I changed my circle. I'm dealing with someone that's happy all the time, joking, or joyful, not boastful, but joy in my circle changed. Then I started listening to the word a little differently. Then I started applying it to my life. I put some word on my issues. And now my issues, they're not even issues no more. They're just there. And now I'm just happy. And now when you get to the point and you're serving the Lord and you get happy because you're living His word, you're living the will that He wants you to have and not that what Derek wants me to have. Yeah, I'm a happy camper. Now, what makes me upset sometimes is when people want to try to tell me why I'm happy. I'm happy because I got the Lord in my life, and He's leading and guiding in all aspects of my life. Since the quarantine, I'm happier, I'm stronger, and I'm better because I'm in this world and I'm not of this world. And the people that's in my circle are people who are filled with the Word. Is going to rub off on you. And when you rub off on you, it could just be a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow. Pretty soon, you're going to string together some stuff. And all that stuff that used to bother me don't bother me no more. The only reason it bothers me is because there's other people who haven't gotten it yet. And that's where my heart goes out to, is the people who are struggling with some things. And the people in position know they're struggling. They just want to keep them in that position. They just want to keep them there. They know they ain't studying their Bible, so what you going to do? You just going to keep on entertaining them and not giving them the true word of God, not letting them know if you don't do this, you're going to fall and it's going to hurt, and be truthful with them. And the church is full of people right now because they can't go to church. They're not trained to have church at home because they're so consumed with being in a building. They're so consumed with hearing an organ and the drums. They're so consumed with hearing the praises to get up and sit down. They're so consumed with hearing a pastor, a preacher or pastor or whoever hoop and holler. Then they go home right back to the same mess. And they come right back to the same church and do the same thing over and over. Well, the Lord then shook everything all up now. You can't go to church. And if you go to church, you got to practice social distancing. And when you practice social distancing, you can't show no love. And if you can't show no love, God is love. So if you can't show no love in a place where you're supposed to show love, how can you really get the Holy Spirit in there? It makes no sense to me, but I'm going to leave that alone for a different day. I do that on my chaos day. But for today, you have to put yourself in position with people who love you unconditionally so you can have church at home. Now, people have got this all twisted. Derek telling everyone to leave the church and go have church in their own home. That's not what Derek said. Church starts at home. And for spirit-filled people who know that, you are the church. Church is inside you. Exactly. So when you start having church with you, when you get to the church, you'll know how to act in the church. You know how to receive what the preacher got to say, because what he got to say is going to affect your life. When the teacher on Tuesday night teaches, it's going to affect your life if you put a word on it and you live it, eat it. That's what you got to do. Now, there's many different ways people can tell you how to do it. The only way I know how to do it is, and we're going to start a challenge. And social media wants to challenge everyone to do push-ups and all these different challenges, glamour pictures challenge. Well, tonight, I'm going to challenge my wife. We eat 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And every day for the next 30 days, if you don't want to do the challenge, you ain't got to do the challenge. But me and my wife, we're going to do this challenge. She don't even know what the challenge is yet, but I'm going to tell her. We're going to do a scripture. We're going to do a scripture every day. And we're going to post it on each other's thing. I'm going to do a scripture. You're going to do, and we're going to live that scripture for that moment. Breakfast, scripture. Lunch, scripture. Dinner, scripture. You got to feed your soul. And we're going to do it for the next 30 days. A scripture. And when you read that scripture, and you do 3 a day. I know this might be hard for some of y'all, but if you just do a scripture a day and you meditate on that scripture and you meditate on that scripture, that it becomes life. It becomes a lifeline. So when times get hard, you got something to hold on to. You ain't got to call and worry your pastor or your elder. You got that for yourself, because this is a personal relationship. This isn't a group relationship. This isn't a volunteer. This is personal. He's your personal Savior. How do you know him? Through his word. How do you get it? Through his word. Faith come by hearing.
Amen.
The word of God. When you hear it, you become stronger. When you hear it, you got joy. And can't no one take that joy from you. Not no bill collectors. Not no family members. You got it. Because you got the word of God. And I'm so tired of seeing Christians without having the joy, peace, or strength, because they have no word, because they can't get to their pastor and get to a church to hear the word. And some of these pastors are force-feeding some of these people that's been in church 20, 30 years, they're force-feeding them bottles. And if you ever try to give a baby a bottle, they'll spit it out, they'll cry, they'll have a tantrum, because they didn't outgrow the bottle. And a lot of these Christians running around here during the coronavirus, they don't know how to react because they was not prepared, because their leader was not prepared.
I want to share something about our trip that we took a couple of Saturdays ago. We went to the same day that we went to Ruby Falls. We went to it was like a little riverboat around the Tennessee River. We just sit, relax, and chill out. So we were on the boat, and there was a man that was swimming in the Tennessee River, and he thought he could swim the length of the river, and he underestimated the journey and what that swimming, how it would tire him out. He underestimated what was going on, and he got in over his head. We're cruising along. We don't know nothing that's going on. And the captain comes on, the little speaker there, and he says that he's going to have to turn around because there was a man that looks like he was in distress. So because the captain was sitting high enough to see what was going on, we turned around. They were able to get the man on the boat to get him to safety. And I started thinking about that. A lot of times in life, we put ourselves in situations that we get in over our head, whether it's a bad relationship, whether it's financial debt, and me personally, taking on too many responsibilities. I don't hardly say no to people, and that's a issue that I have, because I feel if I got the time, go ahead and do it. What is it going to hurt? But at the end of the day, it's really hurting me. So a lot of times we do get in over our head, and we do need to say no to some things. It's okay to say no. So in your brokenness, you may be in over your head. But the thing about it, though, God is looking, and he can see what's going on. So he's there for you. If you need him, call out to him. He's waiting on you to seek him and stop looking at the problem and stop looking at the situation. So he's waiting for you to. And even if you don't see that things are changing, just know in the long run, it's going to work out for your good if you stay the course, if you allow the Lord to have his way in your life. It's going to work out for you. The thing is, though, you do have to accept Jesus into your heart, and you do have to surrender everything to him in order to begin to see the beauty in your brokenness. You can't see the beauty in anything that you're going through without the Lord. You got to get a new perspective on your life. You got to allow him to open your eyes, give you new eyes to see, clean your heart out. If I can share, let me just share one last scripture, if I can. I know we're running over. I want to share 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So he called you out of darkness. It's already done. It's already in his word. He's already done it. So all you got to do is walk in it. I pray that something was said. I know we had a lot of technical difficulties. Ain't nothing but the devil. To God be the glory. At the end of the day, God is going to get the glory. So we pray that something was said that pricked your heart to let you look at your situation in a different way. And just pray that the Lord open your eyes to see it, the beauty in the brokenness that you feel. All right.
Yeah, and with that being said, and yeah, what you were saying about the man in the pool, I'm going to tell on myself because, you know, I can do this. And this is how church people think. And I have to remind myself, I'm a new person now because I used to do this all the time. But when that man was in distress in the water and we turned around to go pick him up, the whole time, now you got to understand my whole attitude from the cave, and now we're on the riverboat, and I am relaxing, and they turn the boat around and we go pick this man up. You know what I'm saying to myself? They going to make him pay like I had to pay?
So
they giving him food. Is he gonna have to?
So
why he get the food, free food, and I didn't get none? I paid for this trip, and if all I had to do was jump in the water to get on the boat to get the free meal, then next time I go there, then that's what I do. But you see, that's the mindset of the church. No, but that's the mindset of the church. And when I say that, cause I can tell on myself that I thought that, not that we had to save the man or he was gonna drown. God forbid that was to happen. But at the end of the day, I'm saying to myself, now here I am, selfish. I'm blessed enough to take the trip. I'm wondering about somebody else. Why didn't they have to pay? Why they get to do this? How come I don't get nothing free? He eating popcorn and drinking, and we paid for it. All he did was look like he was in
distress. Wrong eyes.
And what,
the wrong eyes.
But the thing, right? Exactly, the wrong eyes. And the church, and there's a lot of people in the church who have that same concept. When someone comes into the church and they're on fire for the Lord, But we look at him like, well, they ain't qualified. Oh, the pastor didn't like him because he knew. Or they give reason why you want to knock somebody else down instead of praising him and uplifting him. This man's life was saved. Instead of me congratulating, oh, you all right, brother, I'm glad you're okay. Here I am worried about something because I didn't get it. That sounds like
that
church folks to me.
But
I'll be all right. I'll be there by myself tonight. But you understand where I'm going with that, though. Say that again?
It's all about you.
Well, yeah, but that's I grew up in church like that. That's how I grew up. That's what happened. And that's why I'm so on fire right now, because that person doesn't exist in me, but I know them type of people exist. And, yeah, I didn't see all the beautiness in the cave. No, I didn't want to embrace that man. But at the end of the day, when I look back over the pit, it was a beautiful experience. We could have lost someone, but we didn't. We helped someone that was in distress. We brought them aboard, made them feel loved. Even though I said what I said, there were some people thinking that. But then again, thank God for the captain. And thank God I'm not the captain of the ship. Thank God I'm not the captain or the person that said that I wasn't going to preach or couldn't preach, wasn't the captain of my ship. And when I was in the cave and I didn't see the beautiful light, thank the Lord that I had a wife that took the picture to be able to share it with me. I'm going somewhere with this. That's right. That's why you got to surround yourself. Because what I missed, my wife captured. And because we two are one in him, I can still have it. Even though we saw two different things, I was still able to see the beauty. I was still able to see the beauty. So it's important who you surround yourself with. It's important who you fellowship with. It's important because their words, their eyes may not see what you see. And sometimes we look at things the way we ought not look at them. I do that all the time. That's why I thank the Lord for my wife. Because if it wasn't for her, I would have missed a whole lot of things. So she's my queen. I have to treat her like a queen. Because I would have missed some stuff. And now, in having a bad trip, I feel like, wow, we did a lot of stuff. And I enjoyed it, even though the funny part is I didn't even see it. And that's the part of life sometimes. You may miss some things, but when you look back and you can see it,
yeah,
you can rejoice.
Yes,
because I
amen.
Was there. I was in the tunnel. I was in the cave. I was on top of the mountain. I've been there. If you ain't never walked up a mountain, when you walk up a mountain and you get to the top, You feel some type of accomplishment because you made it. You may not have saw everybody going up the mountain. You may not have saw everybody going down, but you made it. And you saw some people that were struggling that you may have nodded, gave them a head nod. Come on, you can make. It's something you did. You gave them something because Christ gave you something, and all you're doing is giving back. It ain't always about giving money. Sometimes it's about just giving a hug or a hi. Or what's up, or that. That's what it's about. But someone just made a comment, you know, someone made a comment, and we got a few minutes, and I'm going to go, about what I said about people social distancing in church. Now, this is just an opinion of Derek. This is just Derek's opinion. I'm not going in the Bible. It's my opinion. And my opinion is when I go back to church, if I want to hug somebody, I want to hug them. I don't want to do the safe thing. I don't want to do that. Now, I'm doing it now because that's what we're supposed to do. But when we in church, I want to go back to have church like we have church. And I can't. It's so funny for me to see
nobody
people.
At church. You don't even.
No,
you're
just
not a hugging person at church, though.
No, I'm not a hugging person, but I like it because it exhibits love. That energy is there. It is there.
Right.
But it looks like, have you seen these people that have church with the social distancing and the mask on, and they 6 feet apart, and it just don't look right. That's just my opinion. We done with the show. I'm sorry. I just wanted, I've watched it. I'm trying to get into it. And I mean, if we have to go back to church and have to stay 6 feet away from me, you know, I'm Church of God in Christ, you know. All day, every day. We don't, ain't no safe distance in no church. You're liable to get knocked down. And now to see them just sitting there and you can't holler, you got to, you know, put your mask on and
I'm sorry, but if the spirit is moving, you can holler, dance, do what you got to do. I don't see how you can sit down.
I'm just saying, I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it yet. Maybe just I'm busy dealing with you know, dealing with what I got to deal with on Sunday mornings in church. But some of these ones I, you know, got to look at sometime, it just don't look, it looks scary. It don't look alive. And the God we serve is alive. I want to see some shouting. I want to see some bad. I want to see what you happy about. What you got the joy about. That's what I want to see. You can't do that six, you know, I don't know. That's just my opinion. Maybe I overspoke. But my
engineer
likes
it, though, you can shout by yourself. You don't got to have a shouting partner. So let the spirit move and let the Lord have his way. The thing is, we quench in the spirit. Nobody is letting the spirit flow. I'm not saying, I don't know about all churches, but I'm just saying some places may not be letting the spirit flow the way the spirit needs to flow, because you're trying to keep everybody at a safe distance and you're trying to keep everything by the book and just be nice about it. But if you let the spirit loose, I'm pretty sure you'll see some masks flying, everything else. They're not going to let that happen.
I'm going to tell her, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying it, but if you seen Praise Tabernacle on Sunday and you seen Bishop Omar just dance out of his suit, now when I say that, now he at church at home and then danced out of his suit. And I'm saying to myself, if he can be on fire like that for the Lord at home, and then I'll go turn around and watch another church and it's 6 feet and it's like you in at a funeral, it's quiet. You can't get. See, I'm gonna be quiet. I hope everyone enjoyed D&K Bible Break. I didn't mean to hurt nobody's feelings, and I'm gonna get these pastors calling me up talking about I'm talking about their church. I wasn't talking about nobody's church. I'm just saying my opinion. When you see that, and for me, I'm on fire. I'm ready. I can preach right now. I got a couple sermons in me right now. I'm ready to go. But at the same time, I don't need a B3 organ. I don't need, because I'm excited about the Word of God. And when you get excited about the Word of God, I don't want to look intelligent because of what we live with COVID-19. COVID-19 ain't got nothing on John 3:16. COVID-19 ain't got nothing on Romans 10:9. COVID-19 ain't got nothing because it's dead to the scriptures, because we bring life to it. The Bible says that we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. I'm healed. I'm not even sick, but I'm healed. See, it's a totally different thing, and you can't shout about that. You know, I'm ready to dance myself, and I don't even know how to dance. But I got one. And I say that, and I'm not bragging about church, and I'm not trying to uplift nobody either. Let me get that out of the way. I'm just saying, from my experience and what I'm seeing in the day that we're living in right now. If you don't believe
me,
all you
got to
do.
It's a new thing, so. You do have to be mindful of other people as well, because, yes, we need to, you know, do what we normally do. But at the same time, you have people, they want to come to church, but they don't want you all up in their face. So you just got to know your environment and know the people that you're among.
Because
I have
people
that I'll hug right now, and they don't care. Like, you know, we're going to hug. I'm going to pick up your baby. They don't care, but you do have some people who do care and respect that they don't be up in my face. Okay, I respect that.
I have no issue with that. But how can you go into the house, and this may be something for a different day, but how can you go up into the house of the Lord, knowing the scriptures the way we know them, and then tell me you're going to practice safe distancing? The truth ain't in that, because I understand
the situation.
But
hold on, you haven't been to church. I've been to church. So the thing is, you can practice social distancing. At the same time, you can let the spirit move, because I don't sit amongst a lot of people anyway. So I usually sit with just my family, and I've been the only one going. So if I'm in my little area, I'm still going to praise God. I mean, it's not going to stop me from praising God. Okay. The others may not want to come stand by you or nothing, but it's not going to stop.
All what I'm saying is, from what I've seen, and I wasn't singling you out, I'm just saying, overall, when you see people and you see the Spirit of God catches on fire, all what I'm saying, I love to be in church where the Spirit is moving, and I love to see the saints be moved by the Lord. What I'm saying is, it seems like there's been a halt in the move of God. And what I'm saying is, when people come to church, are they opening the church for the right reason? Because I don't see the move of God. I'm not talking about individuals, because I know certain individuals will praise God no matter where they are. I know them type of people. I'm just saying, in general, that general move of God, are they opening the church up because it's a business decision? Or are they opening the decision up because that's what the Lord told them to do? There's a difference. And there's a difference in the shout, if you're shouting for the truth or you're shouting for the money. That's what I'm saying. Now, I'm not saying about individual, because if you go to church, you should be going to church to hear the word of God and to feel the move of God. That's why we go to church. But what I'm saying is, it's hard for me to imagine, and maybe I shouldn't say this, if Praise Tabernacle was to be in the church right now, could they practice social distancing? When I feel when the Spirit hits, everybody's going to lose their mind and ain't going to be thinking about 6 feet apart. But as the leader, we're not going to church. Because of that, we don't keep everybody safe, which I understand and agree with, and just do it the way we've been doing it. That way you can have church by your in your own house, and then in your physical house, you can shout all by yourself. What I'm saying is, you see these churches who's opened up the door, and the people watching this, you got people who looking for answers, and you see a dried up church. That's not what the church represents. And I understand that it's not. This is something new. It's something new, but again, then again, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We should be the example of how we do things. And that's all what I'm saying. So when I see these churches that open their doors back up, and then I watch it for a little bit, I get turned off because it's dead to me, because there's no life. And there's no life because there's no truth. There's no truth because there's no love. Because if you really loved them, you wouldn't put people in that position. That's it. Like I said, I'm gonna leave it alone. My emails are going off crazy right now. I hope y'all enjoyed being here.
You're making some people upset tonight.
I'm not making no one up. I'm just speaking. This is just my mind. It's my mind. They ain't got to let anything turn it off.
Your mind.
But I'm not talking about nobody. So don't be calling me up, calling your pastor, telling them. Call and check Elder Oliver, because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm on one right now. I'm feeling good about myself. I'm not going to call out no names. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to keep it real straight and clean. Keyword is straight. A lot of these people ain't even straight.
All right, so we're not going to go into that.
No, we're not. I hope everyone enjoyed D&K Bible Break tonight. We hope you enjoyed the show. Again, me and Kay want to thank you. My rock, my right hand, my beautiful wife keeps me in check and keeps me in line so I can receive my blessing. And I thank the Lord for her to keep everything straight for me, keep everything going the way I needed to go. And like
keep
I said, I am definitely on fire for the Lord. And when you're on fire for the Lord, you could see the truth that's coming. And the level, we're trying to get to another level. And once we get there, we want to go to another. We want to pull as many people up with us as we can take. I ain't got no money to give you, but I got a word to give you. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Remember that. Know that you are chosen. And he's not done with you yet. You are qualified because he called you. And if he called you, can't no one deny you. Can't deny
Amen.
Me. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going
Amen.
To heaven. I know the Lord is in me. I know it. I know that 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 he's in me. And like my first sermon, to fight. I'm going to keep on fighting if I can just make it to the distance. And if I breathe my last breath, I made it. said, Lord, I cannot wait to see the Lord and him say, well done, because I'm going to fight every single day. I'm going to fight. I ain't fighting no one in the scissor for. I'm going to call the police. That's what I pay taxes for.
All right.
But I will sell
some
books.
Check, right?
Oh, my attitude is great.
This is not
my
a personal.
Is
this is not a personal plea to you, Ms. Oliver. I'm just saying, in general, I'm talking to the public, the people. I'm talking
okay.
to myself.
We're
gonna keep our no, sir. We're gonna keep our attitudes in check. We're gonna watch how we view things and ask the Lord to let us see with His eyes. Because ain't nobody perfect. We all pressing to do things the Lord's way. So. Keep that in mind. This is a journey that we're all on, and the goal is to get to the finish line in glory. So let's do this, people.
There you go. You heard it. B&K Bible Break is over with tomorrow night, 7 p.m. sharp. Praise Tabernacle. Bishop Omar Zachary and his team of elders and evangelists will be on 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Same online channel, same online phone number. Chaos Talk, www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver, or 845-277-9094. Tomorrow night, Praise Tabernacle, Tuesday night Bible study is at 7 p.m. Don't miss it. I made a challenge last week. Go to Bible study. If you ain't got you mess around or you need to hear the word, come to Tuesday night Bible study for the next 30 days. Listen to the word, apply it to your life, and I guarantee you will be at a different level after 30 days. That's just after listening to the word. Just listen to the teachers. And the thing about the teachers that's going to teach is not even the teachers. It's the people that's adding in that's going to make the word that much better. So tune in on Tuesday night Bible study. Also, again, and we're done with D&K Bible Break. I'm done with that. I just want to send another shout out to all my sponsors. We will be doing our scholarship either this week or next week. We're going to get that out of the way. Also, again, for all those that listen tonight, and the only reason I don't say it tonight, and I really don't say it, because my wife, she is intimidated. I ain't going to say intimidated by numbers. But she don't like to know how many people listen. But we're averaging over 2,000 listeners easy. Today is Monday. Yesterday morning at 11:07 is when I got the text. You know, there was over 2,700 people. Tonight, 2,200 people. And I don't know where these people are coming in from. I don't know where they're chiming in from. But we're going to do our part of chaos and give you the word of God. You might think me and my wife just talking just to be talking, but believe you me, we get the texts and the calls. And for the people we're helping, you know, if it ain't but one, we're going to keep doing this every Monday because this started during the coronavirus. Every Tuesday night, as long as Bishop Omar wants us, we will be there every Tuesday night to put the word out so the world can hear what it needs to hear. Every Friday night, if you ain't doing nothing on Friday night, tune in. Bishop Omar preaching, his family praise and worshiping right from their home. It's a blessing to me because that's what I'm striving for in my family. We do all these broadcasts and we do them and I want to be able to get to the point where we can have church like that. Like he do every week, twice a week, sometimes three times a week. I want to get to that point where I can shout in my house all by myself. That's what I'm striving for. And in order to do that, I got to hear the word. I got to be led by the word. I got to follow the word. And then I got to be an example to the people in my house. So when I go to open up my church in my house, I ain't saying that when I say my church, I'm talking about church in my own house. I ain't trying to have no church. I got too many phone calls now. I think if I was a pat, I'm not trying to have that headache. But at the end of the day, that's what I strive for. So listen to the word. Bible study, Friday night service, the Sunday morning service at 11 a.m. Praise Tabernacle, Bishop Omar Zacharin. Also, again, Wednesday night, we have Elder George Bazaar, Warren, Ohio, a great teacher. Listen to his Bible study. If you ain't get enough on him on Wednesday, on Sunday nights at 5 p.m., he's on again teaching the Word of God. We have the Overseer on Friday night out of Dallas, Texas, and he's on again on Saturday evenings. He's on the Overseer. So the Word of God here is rich, it's powerful, and the numbers don't lie. And people on Blog Talk keep complimenting the numbers that we're doing right now. And like I said, for every service, we're averaging over 2,000. So you can do the math. That's over 50,000 people per week that listens to Chaos Talk Radio. So with that being said, we must be doing something right. And like I said, God be the glory. And for all the men and women who come across Blog Talk, just know you're affecting somebody's life somewhere around the country. And that's what we're supposed to do in these last and evil days. So I thank everyone on every level that's a part of Chaos Talk. I appreciate you. And again, I just want to say thank you. And then to all those that listen, we thank you. And for all the ones that compliment me on our show, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate it. She's appreciated. And a shout out to all our friends that listen every Monday, and all the people, their family that listen, even our haters that listen. We just want to say thank you. Keep on doing the work, because the more you hate, the more we pray. And the more we pray, the more we get next to God, and the more God just keep blessing us. And I just want to say thank you. With that being said, every eye bowed, every eye head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, we just want to thank you for tonight. Hopefully someone heard your word, Father God, that was inspired, that was encouraged, Father God. And Father God, they will keep on looking for the light in a dark tunnel. Father God, we just want to thank you. We just want to ask you to continue to bless us, bless our country, bless our city. Father God, just continue to bless the young people right now, Father God. Father God, those people who are confused right now, that don't know where to go or which way to lean, Father God, we just ask you, Father God, lead them to the right people, Father God. And Father God, we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we're out.
Money is set, a little bit of bag of food, and your baby need a pair of shoes. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I tell you what you ought to do. Jesus can work it out if you let him.